Turn with me, if you would, or listen to my voice as I read from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter is a short letter from the end of the New Testament, near the end of it, the first of two letters that were written by Peter. And these verses are verses 3 through 9 of the first chapter. This is very early material in the first letter of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise this day for the life that we have in you because you have risen victorious from the grave. We give you thanks for being present with us in this service. And we pray that you would center our hearts, our minds, our very selves in the middle of your presence that we might know you, be filled by your Spirit, and be assured of your presence with us in all circumstances. Speak to us now in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genuine faith is of more worth than gold? Really? Do you know how much gold is worth these days? I checked this morning, and gold is selling currently. 1 ounce of gold is selling on the market for $1,280, give or take a few pennies. That's pretty valuable. But faith is worth more than gold? It says that. But do we really believe that? Diamonds, they say, are forever. There's a James Bond film by that title. And we believe that. Diamonds are incredibly hard materials that are used to cut lots of other things, and they're meant to last forever. We really believe in the value of diamonds. That's why they're so expensive, too. If you receive a birthday card from someone, it's nice to get a birthday card, but it's even nicer if there's a little bit of money inside it, right? We really value things when there's money involved. When a loved one passes away, we often spend more time arguing over who gets what, rather than sharing memories or consoling each other or discussing what we've learned, the legacy that has been left. I have seen multiple families over the years torn apart by fights over the inheritance that each person wants to get. Perhaps you know of such a family, or maybe you're part of such a family. It's sad to see people become so upset at their own family members, all because of how money and other tangible resources are distributed. If anything, families should support each other in those kinds of times. A couple of weeks ago, I was here in my office doing what I do, and there came a knock at the outside door to the church building, which was surprising to me because the door was unlocked, and most of the time when people want to come in, they just come in, and that's all well and good. So I was surprised at first to hear that knock, and I went to go and answer the door. Turns out it was a lady who lives in our neighborhood. I didn't know her, and I don't remember her name right now. But she lives just down the street from us. It turns out that her father had just passed away a few days before, and she needed a fax machine. She asked me, does your church have a fax machine that I could use? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, we do. And come on in, what's going on? She had to fax some paperwork as things happen to some company or other. When someone passes away, there's so much work to do. You might know this, in terms of taking care of details and getting things sent where they need to be sent. It's very stressful on families. And this lady, whose father had just died, was in the middle of all of that. I said, well, come on in. We'll hook up the machine, get it all working. And we got her materials faxed to where they needed to go. So we talked about what was going on, and she volunteered this to me. I didn't ask her about the family dynamics. I don't normally pry like that. But she said, you know, if there's one thing that drives families apart in a time of grief, it's greed. She said the word greed. Even before her father had been buried, she was already feeling the pull of different family members saying, who gets what? We all can be guilty of that. If I had asked another of her family members, they might have said the same thing about her. Who knows? We all can be guilty of that. To be so consumed by the inheritance that we want, the things that we want to have, that we can ignore really the more important work of grief, which is a community kind of experience. It's not something that just you deal with on your own. It's something that affects you in relationship with other people. And in some ways, I think this distress over what happens with the stuff is a way of masking the real work of the grief that needs to take place within the family unit. It can take a long time, and we don't always know how to grieve together. And so we end up arm wrestling over stuff. I think that's generally how it happens. A side note, this is not really a sermon about death and dying and inheritances and things like that, but it seems to be a timely topic. And a side note on this topic before we get back to what Peter was saying, the importance of pre-planning for your own death is something that I want to highlight. Regardless of your age, whether you are 103 or 23 or 13, the question of what happens to your stuff after you die is a question that needs to be answered. And if you can do some of that work now ahead of time, if your death is 80 years in the future, David, I hope, right? You can still plan for it now. You can still say, you know what, if something were to happen to me, all of my stuff goes to so-and-so. Or this person gets that, or that person gets that. It's not necessarily saying, well, I expect to die in the next year or 6 months, and so I better take care of that. No, it's saying if an accident should happen, as sometimes happens, then the family, your family, will not have to stress about where your stuff goes. There can be a plan for that. And it's a gracious thing to do for your family's sake, for you to get that set up in writing ahead of time. A living will, a legal document, something that can be very useful for your family, should it ever be needed. I got a letter in the mail, this is now a few months ago, from one of the local funeral homes. I think it was Ware Smith. It might have been Wilson Miller. I've lost track of which one it was. But they said that they're willing to come out to our place and lead a Saturday seminar on those kinds of things. It's not a sales pitch. It's not for you to subscribe to their business or anything like that. It's really a service just so we can know more of what we'd need to think about in terms of taking care of those last end-of-life details. And I thought, you know, that might be a good thing for us to do at some point. I'm kind of gazing for feedback from you all. Some of you are saying, yeah, some of you are like, I already got that taken care of. Well, maybe we'll do something like that this summer. Who knows? When the main point is this. We get so fixated on stuff, on things that eventually just pass away themselves, that eventually rust and become useless. Why are we so fixated on the concept of an inheritance as a tangible, material, physical possession when everything eventually dies anyway. My own grandmother, my mother's mother, passed away just a couple of years ago. And about a decade ago, my grandma decided to give each of her 7 grandkids our inheritance, a small but decent chunk of money that we could use to whatever purposes we wanted. And she gave it to us while she was still living and still in good health. She did that so that she could see what we did with it. Not in the mother hen sort of sense, like you better use it well, although that might have been part of it, I don't know. But she was really curious to see how we would put it to use. She wanted to see that rather than the alternative. And so Tara and I thought about it. At the time, we lived in Indianapolis, and we lived in a neighborhood with a park just down the road and a library around the corner, and the grocery store was all within walking distance, more or less, but a little bit longer than we wanted to walk. There's sidewalks everywhere. We didn't have bicycles at the time, so we thought, this would be great. Let's buy each of us a bicycle with my grandma's inheritance money. And so we did, and we told my grandma, and it was all wonderful. We still have those bicycles. But we haven't used them much lately, partly because we live in an area where the library and grocery store and parks are not just around the corner. It would take quite a hike for us to get somewhere. And also partly because these days we're a little bit more interested in the motorized version of the bicycles. Those are a little bit more fun for us these days. So the bicycles we still have. But over the years, we haven't taken the best care of them. They've gotten a little rusty. The tires are flat. The derailleurs don't derail like they're supposed to. There's maintenance that we could do. But if you let it sit long enough, it'll become rusty and fade away. And now my grandma is thinking, thanks a lot, guys, for... Anyway, that's okay. We... All of that is to say, we emphasize the things so much when the things will eventually pass away themselves. Bicycles get old and rust. Even gold, coming back to 1 Peter, Peter says gold perishes. Well, no, it doesn't. That's part of what makes gold gold. It's what it makes it valuable. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't disintegrate. It doesn't decay. It's valuable. But it's passing away. That's what Peter is saying. It's not something of eternal and ultimate value. These things, even money itself, is only useful for a limited period of time. Each of us will eventually die, and then what use will all of those things be? So let me ask you a question. As Christians, we are looking for an inheritance. Peter says that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. What is that inheritance? This is where you fill in the blank. Sorry, darling? Say it again. Yeah, to share life with other people and cherish the people that are around you. Yeah, that's a good answer. I like it. What else is our inheritance? Safety and peace of mind. Okay. I can get behind that. All right. Our faith is our inheritance. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Salvation is our inheritance. Yeah. These are all wonderful answers that you're giving me. Not at all what I expected you to say. Deanne played a song for the offertory. Wonderful song. Thank you for playing it, by the way. Do you remember what it was? I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Do we believe in that as our inheritance? Perhaps? You're saying things that are all good and wonderful and right, and I'm proud of you for saying those things. Those all apply in this life, which is great. There's a piece of what we consider to be our inheritance, though, that extends beyond the grave. We have this idea, a communal idea in our minds of these mansions in glory, right? Where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us Somewhere in heaven there will be a place for us. And at certain phases in our lives, we can emphasize those more strongly as possessions, as things that we will get to own and inhabit. Now, the answers you've given me are all wonderful because they are things that we can enjoy now, and they are not tangible, and they will last for the rest of our lives, we hope, and beyond into eternity, the hope, the peace of mind, the faith that we have. You're really throwing me off track here, folks, by being so spiritual. That's fine. Peter says, in his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And that phrase, kept in heaven for you, is a way of saying that that inheritance is secure. It can never be taken away. Not that it is physically located in heaven, just waiting for us to arrive there, as if we didn't have anything to experience here and now in that inheritance. I would suggest an alternative to even the wonderful ideas that you've suggested here, because these are good. But we can find those in our own relationships with other people. We can find those in other forms of self. There's a word that I can't think of. Provision, perhaps, self-provision. We can provide for our own peace of mind in lots of different ways, right? I would suggest that our inheritance is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is our inheritance. And there's something about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that proves Jesus to be our inheritance. Those two ideas are closely connected in Peter's language here and in the letter to the Ephesians a few books earlier. The inheritance that we receive and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead are closely interrelated. Let me read a few verses from Ephesians 1 as well. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power in those who believe, for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Our inheritance as Christians is closely connected to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That inheritance is the same as the good news of the resurrection. Jesus lives, never more to die again. So we have access to a living, loving, life-giving relationship with him. It's something that we can enjoy right now. It's not something that we have to wait until we meet him in heaven to experience. And it's something that is of ultimate value, something that will not fade or tarnish or become useless, even more valuable than gold. If Jesus is our inheritance, then we can orient our lives completely around him, around his teachings, his love, his way of life. This is what it should mean to be his follower. Not to have a golden ticket for a mansion in glory, but to love Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy in Jesus. What I'm talking about is a spiritual orientation of life, a way of organizing your life so that everything springs from this connection to Jesus. It's a way of finding meaning and purpose and hope, direction and value. It's a way of finding ourselves in community, in society. This spiritual orientation can propel us forward, even in the midst of hardships, difficulties, sufferings of all kinds. Peter refers to those too. Suffering grief for a little while. Real trials are not just things that make us feel upset or depressed. Real trials are the things that make us question our faith. We can endure all things through Christ who gives us strength. The real trials are the times when we're tempted to turn away and say, you know, I don't really want to have anything to do with him after all. Genuine faith holds on to Jesus, the inheritance, our everlasting inheritance, even in the most difficult of times. It's something that may strengthen or weaken through the course of your life. It's something that you may feel strongly right now or may not feel strongly right now. But the good news is that Jesus is in this game for the long haul. And that his role as our inheritance is not something that disappears just because we decide we don't want to have it right now. He's still there, still waiting to be claimed. So friends, consider making plans for your own possessions, your own things, for the time when you are gone from this life. But more importantly, take time this week even, to consider what it would mean to claim Jesus as your inheritance. For you to orient your life around him and his teachings and his way of life.